Well, there is precious little to cheer about this season for fans of Michigan State football, now losers of five straight after laying an egg against Maryland on Saturday. They're off to their worst Big Ten start since Muddy Waters was coaching the program. The Spartans will try to climb out of the mud this weekend when they host rival Michigan, who is ranked number two in the country. Current sports host Al Martin joins us now to talk Spartans, Wolverines, and the Lions, who look pretty good this year after another victory. Welcome back, Al.
How you doing, Mark? Yeah, how about the Lions, right?
Yeah, how about that?
We'll get to them, yeah. But
yeah. It was kind of a classic ending, but it turned out well. How would you classify the struggle for this year's MSU football team? I mean, is this a coaching or a player personnel problem? What?
Well, I think that, as Mark D'Antonio has said all year, Mark, this is an all-inclusive problem. It is both the players and the coaches. And if you look at what's occurred this year, Mark, I mean, just to focus on an aspect here, this team is very young. Now, granted, very young and talented, but at the same time, very young. And if you just look at the defensive side of the football against Maryland on Saturday, Michigan State played six true freshmen. And we saw what happened in the first quarter. Riley Bulla, a leader of this team, one of the three captains for Michigan State, he finally gets in to start a game, right? Because he hasn't been healthy all this year. He has three personal foul penalties. The last personal foul penalty is a targeting penalty.
Yeah.
He gets ejected in the game. Then you have to burn another red shirt in Joe Bocci, who comes in and has to replace your leader in Riley Bulla. Tall order for him. I thought for the most part, though, Joe did a good job of holding down the fort. But when you have six true freshmen playing defense for Michigan State, I mean, it's a bit tough to try and tread water and expect a lot out of them. Tyler O'Connor, he was supposed to start at quarterback, and I think it's pretty clear now that he is the best out of the three quarterbacks that we've seen this year for Michigan State. He can't play because of an ankle injury. So you have, again, that youth thing, right? Brian Lewerke has to come in and try to salvage that game. And, you know, you're going to have growing pains anytime you have a young quarterback. There was one play, if you remember in that game, Mark, where he clearly had Donnie Corley on a slant route. He throws it at Donnie's feet. If Donnie catches that football, nothing but grass in front of him. That's a touchdown. That's a touchdown that you're missing out on. So those are the growing pains that you deal with when having a young quarterback. And then I talk about the coaching problem for Michigan State. Michigan State going for it and trying a fake field goal so early in that game, right before the first half, that, Mark, was a sign of desperation. And I think that if you go back and you ask Mark D'Antonio if he would have changed his mind on that play, I think he would have. That just shows you, though, that they're in such awry right now that they're trying anything to try and jumpstart this team, even a fake field goal early on in the first half.
What are the chances the Spartans make a bowl game, in your estimation?
Very slim right now, Mark. Very slim. I mean, you look at the schedule moving forward. Of course, you have Michigan coming to town this Saturday, right? They go on the road to play Illinois after that. They have back-to-back home games against Rutgers and Ohio State after that, and then they end the year at Penn State, a team that just upset Ohio State.
About that?
Crazy, right? So, I mean, if you look at it, speaking logically here, looking at the rest of the schedule, it's unfair to think Michigan State is going to beat Michigan right now. I mean, right now, Vegas opened up the line, and Michigan State is a 3-touchdown underdog, 21-point underdog this weekend, right? They're not going to win that, in my estimation. Ohio State, that's a tall order. They're not going to win that. They have to beat Illinois and Rutgers, and you still need one more game to become bowl eligible. And to beat Penn State on the road, that's tough to go to Happy Valley and have to do that. So right now, if you have to ask me, Mark, I would say no.
The Monday of Michigan week, is there any – I mean, Michigan just looks so strong. Is there any exploitable weakness in this team?
Well, that's the question. It's very hard to pick one, right? Wilton Spate is getting better week after week after week. Right now, the defense is leading the nation in scoring defense, only allowing a little over 10 points per game. In four Big Ten games, they've held opponents to just a combined 25 points. If there is a weakness, Mark, if there is any hope for Michigan State this weekend, make Wilton Spate beat you. Make him, because we haven't seen Wilton Spate, you know, with his back against the wall, a lot of pressure on him to have to go out and make big play after big play. Try and contain the running game and make his arm beat you. That's the only way I see Michigan State even having a chance this weekend.
How does the Penn State-Ohio State upset impact the Big Ten picture?
Well, even though that was a huge upset, right? I mean, we saw everybody in Happy Valley, the Penn State fans at least, storm the field. I mean, a big win,
a stunner,
right? But, you know, I kind of equate it to what happened to Michigan State last year against Nebraska. You know, even though big game, huge upset, Ohio State can still book a ticket to the Big Ten championship game if they can beat Michigan. So the goals for Ohio State are still right in front of them. I don't want everybody to panic here just because Ohio State moved down to 6 in the AP poll. If they can still beat Michigan later on this year, they will have a chance at the college football playoff.
Let's switch gears to the Lions here, because this is pretty encouraging. Just when it looked like former MSU quarterback Kirk Cousins was going to lead the Washington Redskins to a win, I mean, this so much happened in the last couple of minutes. Matthew Stafford put on the Superman cape. How have the Lions been able to overcome one of the hottest teams in the league?
Well, I think the biggest and easiest answers has been Matthew Stafford. I mean, Matthew Stafford is playing arguably right now the best football out of any quarterback in the league right now. I mean, it's really tough to sort of pinpoint what has led to Matthew Stafford really just emerging this year and becoming one of the elite quarterbacks in this season. But we've seen 3 straight weeks now in this 3-game winning streak in which he has led his team down the field for a game-winning drive with under a minute left. 24, I should say, game-winning drives for him when you take into account what took place yesterday against the Redskins. And I think that this is kind of a blessing in disguise. Calvin Johnson not being there this year, it forced us to really see what Matthew Stafford can do, because he's not honing in on one target. They became very predictable when Calvin Johnson, one of the best wide receivers in the league, was with the team, because right, they would just hone in on him. Now, when he's forced to spread the football around and hit other targets, he's showing the entire repertoire right now. And I also want to shout out the Lions defense, who made some big key stops in that game as well, Mark.
A quick update on Mid-Michigan High School football. How many of our local teams made the playoffs?
How about this? 21 Lansing area teams. Very cool stuff. That includes, because, you know, when it comes to high school football, the magic number is 6 as well, Mark. So you got to get at least 6 wins to guarantee a spot in the playoffs. There were 3 5-4 teams, though, that when the committee, you know, were making their decision, they decided that these teams had some big enough wins to at least make it to the dance as well. Williamston, Olivet, and Stockbridge, all at 5-4, also made the playoffs, Mark. Very happy for East Lansing. They are back in the playoffs for the first time in 4 years. And Sexton and Williamston, who I just mentioned, they are in the playoffs for the first time in 2 years. So Lansing-Sexton holding the flag right now for the Lansing area team.
And we've got an all-Midwest World Series.
Oh, how crazy is that?
Why do I love that theme? I love the idea of Cleveland fans driving to Chicago and Chicago, France. I mean, you can drive it. You don't have to fly it necessarily.
Yeah. You don't. Yeah, I'm wondering if they'll take a bus to those games, right? Probably not, but still, that's kind of funny to think about. How cool is that, though, right? I mean, you have two of the most deprived franchises in baseball history. 68 years for Cleveland, 107 for the Cubs, now meeting in the World Series. I think it's safe to say, Mark, whoever wins out of this whole thing, hey, no matter what, somebody's winning, okay? I think everybody wins in a game of baseball when you see both of these franchises go at it.
Both deprived. To be sure. I think the Cubs have picked up even more national fans probably in this process.
Yes,
though.
Certainly.
I hope they can make it happen. Al Martin, host of Current Sports here on WKAR. Catch the program with lots more. 1 o'clock this afternoon on AM 870. Thank you, Al.
Hey, thank you, Mark. Anytime.